In this new episode of Ancient Technologies, I'm going to be showing you the only high-quality videos that exist of going inside two incredibly ancient temples that are hidden within the bedrock outcrops high up in the mountains of Cusco in Peru. I also take you through several of the most anomalous sites in ancient Cusco, precision cutting techniques into solid bedrock that contradict the Bronze Age toolkit that we assign to their creation. Evidence of novel methods of softening and manipulating stone in ways that we can't explain, the signatures of mechanical drilling into bedrock, all the signs of a bygone era lost to history and now spoken of only in the preserved legends and oral traditions of the indigenous people. Long before the Bronze Age Inca settled these lands and repurposed the megalithic structures for their own civilizations, these buildings and sacred spaces were here. This is ancient Peru like you have never seen it before. Stunning 4K quality cinematography of the unexplainable architecture and high technology evidence that we see across the Peruvian landscape. Previously on Ancient Technologies, I took you through the astonishing megalithic site of Sacsayhuaman in Cusco, Peru. Deep into the ongoing excavations being undertaken by the Chincana Project team, in search of underground passageways and entrance points into a fabled labyrinth that is said to run beneath Sacsayhuaman, connecting it to various sacred sites across the Andes region, including the Coricancha, or Sun Temple, in the heart of the city of Cusco. I showed you clear evidence of precision engineering deep below the megalithic complex, the unmistakable signs of infrastructure deep below Sacsayhuaman are being revealed. Sacsayhuaman is an engineering marvel, and one that defies an accepted explanation for not only its intended purpose, but also the methods of construction that were employed and the definitive time period when these multi-ton megalithic stones with their marshmallow-like appearance were actually constructed and placed. The level of expertise on display, juxtaposed with the extremely simple Bronze Age toolkit of the Inca, to which mainstream archaeologists attribute the construction of Sacsayhuaman, causes any critically thinking person to stop for a moment and consider the likelihood of a copper and bronze-wielding culture with nothing more than simple chisels and hammerstones, possessing the ability to quarry, carve, cut, lift, transport, and then precision place multi-ton stones. Especially when you realize that Sacsayhuaman's blocks are not only composed of limestone, a relatively soft and more workable stone, but also diorite and andesite, two extremely hard stones that would heavily resist damage from copper and bronze tools, which are far softer than the stone itself. And yet we find andesite and diorite stones being cut into as if it was nothing to them. Polished surfaces that completely defy the capability of the Bronze Age toolkit. For example, this absolutely baffling area, adjacent to the main plaza of Cyclopean stone walls, towers a strange geological formation known as the Rodadero. This dioritic outcrop is the result of an ancient magma bubble bursting through the surface of the earth and cooling into the formation you now see. Diorite is an incredibly hard igneous rock. It is not possible to do precision carving and cutting on dioritic rock with a copper or bronze chisel, and yet these are precisely the tools we are being told we used to achieve works such as this.
And this is diorite?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, this is where it gets weird. Oh, wow. What the f***?
These are not the signatures of a quarry. These cuts were done with a different purpose in mind, smoothed down to a fine finish on stone that would defy all attempts from typical Bronze Age tools to shape it. And yet, here they are, invoking once again the possibility that these works belong to a different time than that of the Inca, inviting us to look for answers further back into the ancient past than the mainstream currently accepts. We have to defy their proclamations of absolute certainty, because the evidence does not agree with their conclusions. The level of expertise and sophistication of the toolkit required to create marble top smooth precision 90 degree angle cuts into diorite rock forces us to question how and when such cuts were achieved. And they weren't just achieved once or twice. Around Sacsayhuaman, we find literally countless examples of precision stone cutting on a mastery level of expertise. Strewn across this mountainous landscape, we find one example after another of precision stonework that shows evidence of severe weathering and damage that forces us to reconsider the chronology of their creation. Rather than 500 years ago, we see a level of damage and degradation that invites a far more ancient origin, one that witnessed geological trauma, natural forces of unimaginable strength, slinging stones the size of buildings across the land, as if attacked by a race of giants. Walking around the surrounding area of Sacsayhuaman, away from the main walls, you will find precision niches cut directly into bedrock outcrops, andesite blocks and circular enclosures that hint of further infrastructure below. We see scoop marks into stone, as if they were once softened, just as we find in many other areas across the world, including Egypt, the global signatures, the hallmarks of an ancient worldwide presence, are once again on display in the stonework of Peru. And this is one of the reasons why we must give due consideration to the argument that the Inca were not responsible for these most impressive of megalithic works across Peru. Because these works share the same hallmarks, they share the same common features with megalithic projects worldwide. Whether it be the stone nubs that we find protruding from blocks and bedrocks, this is a feature that we find across the megalithic world on a global scale, from Egypt to India, Peru to Pakistan, the stone nubs are present. And then we have the scoop marks, the indentations in stone that show no signs of chisel marking and instead seem to suggest that the rock was quite literally scooped, leaving a smooth channel and indentation in otherwise incredibly hard stone such as andesite, diorite, and rose quartz granite. Once again, we find this signature in ancient Peru, we find it in Egypt, and across the ancient megalithic prehistoric world. Another data point that begins to reinforce the likelihood that these megalithic works in Peru, where these design features and signatures are present, are in fact older than the Bronze Age Inca, and are indicative of a global pattern in megalithic stone building that invokes the need for a lost civilization. A lost chapter of human history, of which we have evidence for in the form of architectural anomalies, oral tradition, and cultural myth worldwide. And Peru is no exception. In fact, I would argue that Peru is one of the most important areas in the world for examining the evidence of lost periods of human civilization. As we continue to journey across the area surrounding Sacsayhuaman, we continue to encounter one stonework anomaly after another. For example, these boulders that we came across along the path, they have these incredible carvings in a style that we see across Peru, with these rectangular recesses, sharply defined internal planes, and a slightly beveled outer edge. It's a style we find in virtually all of the ancient, sacred sites I visited in Cusco. It's also a style that is echoed across the megalithic stone-building world, further challenging the claim that these works belong to the Bronze Age Inca, and strengthening the possibility of a far older, globally connected civilization. The cavities in these stones have uniformed depth, corners are cleanly executed, suggesting controlled stone removal, not random chisel work. The inner surfaces appear flat and even, the outer rim has precision cut right angles, but the blocks themselves show signs of severe weathering and fracturing, implying an origin in deep antiquity. And there is one area in particular that we are now on our way towards. Maneuvering through the dry brush, we follow the narrow footpaths that lead us over to one of the strangest outcrops in the region, the Chincana Grande, the Grand Labyrinth. Named as such due to the legends that this bizarre monument of stone is in fact guarding an entrance into the fabled labyrinth beneath Sacsayhuaman. This bedrock protrusion is absolutely covered in bizarre and incredibly precise cuts. As we scan across the stone anomaly, we see the evidence of precision stairs and niches and trapezoid windows, platforms, and yet, counterintuitive to any typical form of quarrying, we see an alarming lack of tool marks. Instead, we simply have extremely precise voids where stone has been taken with incredible accuracy and purpose. This is by no means a typical quarry, and by no means were typical Bronze Age tools deployed in the crafting and removing of stone on the Chincana Grande.
If you wanted a seriously weird example of precise stone cutting in a completely counterintuitive and strange place, here it is.
As we move around the perimeter of the outcrop, we notice something quite remarkable. A colossal block of stone lies on its side at the base of the Chincana, with these strange stepped cuts running down it. And as we observe the Chincana Grande itself, we see the clear imprint of where this gigantic piece of rock once belonged. The clear marking of stair-like indentations, this huge piece of the Chincana Grande was blown clean off, perhaps by Spanish raiders, perhaps through geological trauma in the region many thousands of years prior. The answers are uncertain, but what is certain is that the Chincana Grande, regardless of whether it guards the entrance into a labyrinth, is in of itself an outright anomaly. The strange cuts that encompass this bedrock outcrop do not stop on its sides, but continue all the way to the top of this enigmatic shrine. timeless tribute to a now forgotten group of stone masters. The crown of Chincana Grande continues the tradition of bizarrely precise 90-degree cuts and grooves into the stone, in formations and styles that are not comparable to standard quarrying techniques, and instead invoke a different purpose altogether, one that we still do not understand. The fact that this outcrop also boasts a fabled entrance into the same labyrinth that the Chincana Project is beginning to uncover at the main site of Sacsayhuaman makes the Chincana Grande all the more mysterious in its presence and its implications. Why the cuts and niches, and how did a Bronze Age culture achieve this level of precision?
Clean, but that part.
You saying this glyphs here?
Looks like glyphs.
Water on oh, okay. Yeah. I see them now. In the crystal. Could just be a shape.
Yeah, there's a lot of right angles and parallel lines.
Yeah, I see them now coming out a bit more clearly. It does almost look a little bit like etched in writing, actually. Yeah. Weird. It almost looks like it says J-E.
J?
Yeah, the first bit here.
Oh, you carved your name?
J-E. G. Yeah, that's weird, because it's actually a crystal vein.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that could...
That would mean it was carved a long time ago, and right. The calcite crystals grew
into the shape of it. Yeah, that's weird. And then this little notch, little niches. This is such a strange chunk of rock. Look at this, guys. I mean, everywhere you look, you've just got right angle cuts, steps.
Right angles, curves.
Curves. Yeah, weird curves. Look at this bit here. Curving rock. Jagged right angles in this little chamber here. Have you done a 3D scan of this?
No, but we could.
That would be cool, right? Photos, yeah, like photogrammetry of this would be really cool.
Just beyond the cyclopean walls of Sacsayhuaman is an area that few tourists get to visit. The locals call it Zone X. A rock-strewn maze of precision cuts, smoothed down bedrock surfaces, niches and channels snake their way through the stone labyrinth, each turn revealing strange and unexplainable remnants of stone mastery, far exceeding what a Bronze Age toolkit was capable of achieving. A common feature across Peru is the inexplicable lack of chisel marks, so many examples of precise cutting or quarrying but without the standard signatures of quarrying. No tool marks, just clean, sometimes perfectly 90-degree angle alcoves, where stone was removed with surgical precision, leaving behind no evidence of the tool that was used. Zone X is another area in Cusco that carries with it legends of entranceways into the Chincana, into the grand labyrinth of the region. During our exploration, we found ourselves descending deep into passages, winding into the earth, many of them now blocked by boulders and dirt. It's clear that these passages lead further down than you are permitted, or any local would dare to go. Because this area also carries with it legends of underground dwelling beings, ancient guardians of the mythical labyrinth, who should not be disturbed. Whether these tales hold true or not, what is true is that Zone X in Cusco is another example of a profound mystery.
Does it stop here? Keep going, keeps going. Okay, yeah, that's where my caving phobia goes. No, no, I'm not climbing into the throat of Satan.
Yeah, you can go in there.
What the f***? And that goes down.
Getting there, I think it's really narrow.
Okay. I mean, I'll poke my head through, but I'm not going to go caving. Can you show me a light? Nice. Wow, so this just keeps going. So does it keep going deeper?
Yeah, but you see how narrow it gets, so I didn't go further than...
Yeah, so this is when you need caving expertise.
That's actually the deepest point of the 3D model I did.
Down here?
Yeah.
Wow, bro.
It looks like it, I don't know, that's what I'd like to know, how much deeper.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
But yeah, then it becomes a proper,
this is
speleology.
This is pretty far down, guys, and it gets very tight. Right, let's get out. Cuttings inside the caves.
There is.
Ah, okay.
At the end of it.
Yeah.
You see on the left side, there's the like niches carved into the wall.
A method of working with stone that we have not rediscovered, and a purpose behind the precision in such strange places that can only be speculated upon. Why would they need to make all of these incredibly precise cuts into bedrock? It can't all be explained as quarrying, because the style of stone removal is not typical at all of ancient quarrying in any sense. There are deeper reasons for this work, reasons we have not yet rediscovered or fully understood. Yeah, going down into these areas.
So these are little, thorn
fill shafts of.
And that's actually really common around here, is to fill up these holes by the ministry and various other people.
Above the city of Cusco, close to the megalithic walls of Sacsayhuaman, stands a place carved not simply into the mountain, but through it. Local legend calls it a gateway between worlds. Here at Kenko, the bedrock itself appears to have been softened and sculpted with surgical precision. Great great slabs of limestone are sliced with impossible accuracy, not rough-hewn by hammer or chisel, but planed smooth, as though cut by a tool we no longer understand. Perfect right angles intersect with serpentine channels that twist down the rock. Some end abruptly, others vanish into narrow crevices leading into shadowed chambers below. Archaeologists call it a temple, or perhaps a necropolis. But there is something unsettling about the precision. The stone feels engineered, the symmetry too perfect, the channels too deliberate. We find clear evidence of drill holes going deep into the bedrock. We see stones that appear to have been scraped as if they were plaster, which further invokes the geopolymer hypothesis, the idea that the stone was softened or perhaps formed into a cement-like slurry and plastered on. Those are the same signatures we find again in places like ancient Egypt, shared capabilities across time, across oceans. It all invokes the possibility of a far more globally pervasive civilization in the ancient past. Now lost to myth and legend, with tools and capabilities that we still cannot explain. Following through the maze of stone at Kenko, we see example after example of highly accurate grooves and niches, ledges and protrusions into the stone.
Like it's been very much smoothed down. Starts off as the rock and then just comes down to this very precisely smoothed out area. Look at this channel going through.
The reason for their existence can only be speculated upon. As we move through these narrow corridors, we arrive to find an incredible sight. An entire face of this huge bedrock protrusion has been smoothed down to incredible precision, as if a giant had taken a piece of sandpaper to the stone. This whole section has been meticulously leveled, and we are stuck with asking the question, why? Why was this needed? How was this achieved? And who was responsible for producing such incredibly accurate work in the bedrock? Within the subterranean chambers of Kenko, we find extraordinary examples of lost ancient abilities. Cold, perfectly flat altars carved from a single block of stone. On the summer solstice, sunlight pierces a narrow slit in the ceiling, illuminating the altar in gold. On the winter solstice, it glows silver. Perhaps to the ancients, this was a marriage of sun and moon, of masculine and feminine, of light and shadow. A cosmic balance performed in stone. Some researchers now suggest the carvings and niches may have functioned as acoustic amplifiers, the tunnels hum when spoken into, resonating at frequencies close to the human voice. The purposeful engineering of sacred spaces to enhance acoustic propagation is not unique to Kenko. These techniques are found across the ancient prehistoric world, a lost science of sound for spiritual practice. Something that is now being realized in modern times on the bleeding edge of scientific exploration. Perhaps this space functioned much like other sites as an acoustic chamber for ritual purposes. Today it's filled with silence, broken only by the shuffling of tourists bustling through its chambers, ignorant to its original purpose. Just opposite Kenko is a site that's often overlooked by visitors. Nestled roughly 100 meters from the main site is another outcrop of stone that boasts a plethora of bizarre shapes and precise cuts into the bedrock. Now inaccessible to the general public, it can only be admired from a relative distance. I didn't see a single tourist come up to this area, and yet it offers countless unexplainable anomalies from antiquity. It remains politely ignored by the majority of footfall to Kenko, and so it deserves a spot in my documentary for being yet another example of precision, of stone mastery, and of the profound lack of answers we truly have for the ancient past. Kenko and the surrounding rock anomalies bring us once again more questions than answers when it comes to who was responsible for this work and why. The next area I travel to is perched high above Cusco, a rugged outcrop of limestone. From a distance, you could be deceived into believing that there's nothing to find here. But as you move closer to this bedrock extrusion, you begin to see signs of intelligent design. A few hundred meters away, we see this striking example of precision work from the ancient past. Time has weathered the rocks, but the unmistakable signature of these master builders is still present. The ancient remains of what looks like pillar foundations. Was there once more to this? A structure that has since been destroyed by the ravages of time and civilizational looting. The Inca, for example, repurposed many of these sites using the megalithic blocks for their own construction. But these carved bedrock sites are far older than the Bronze Age Inca. As we draw closer to our destination, we will begin to see even stranger examples of large-scale, highly precise bedrock cutting and the manipulation of stone in ways that we still cannot fully explain. As we move closer to the main outcrop of limestone in this area, we begin to see more signs of ancient work, niches and steps cut into the stone, slowly eroding back into the bedrock, but still visible once you get close enough. And as we make our way around the site, we come across a remarkable piece of evidence for a level of stonework that once again calls into question the toolkit that was used to excavate it. Huge steps cut into the bedrock, weathered and eroded, they still boast a level of mastery that must be attributed to those who worked with stone in such a way. On one side of these giant steps, we see extreme levels of erosion, very similar in style to what we see in Egypt on the famous melted stairs, which some have attributed to the accidental spilling of an acidic solution, due to the fluid-like pattern of erosion on display. The same pattern can be seen here, where the stone appears to have been melted, and yet we don't see the same level of erosion on every step. For example, we can see here that the precision of the cuts is still on display. But in this particular area, we see significant erosion patterns. Could this be evidence towards the use of acidic solutions in ancient Peruvian stonework? And just as we see in Egypt, could this area in particular be evidence of an accidental spilling of a corrosive solution which ran down these cuts and caused the damage we see today? Absent definitive answers, the best we can do is find good questions to ask, because the truth of it is we simply don't know.
This is crazy. Well, some of them look almost melted.
Yeah, that's what, the erosion in the middle? You know, it doesn't really make sense to carve steps on eroded stone.
Right?
Like the erosion came after.
Afterwards, yeah.
So if that's the case, like, how long does it take to erode like this?
It is weird. That's what I thought when I was coming up. I noticed the erosion.
Yeah, erosion is a pretty slow process, so there would be... I would be surprised if that was done in only 600 years since the Inca.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I mean, some of this... Is this limestone?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of this looks on par with some of the really ancient temples on the Giza Plateau, the Old Kingdom stuff, yeah. Where you've got these huge blocks.
Yeah.
And the erosion is incredible. And it's actually very similar to some of the erosion here. Very strong.
Following on from the giant stairs, making our way around the perimeter of this rocky outcrop, I arrive at the site that I came here to see. Two subterranean temples, carved directly into the bedrock, no longer accessible to the general public. We were able to gain permission to access them and provide you with the only high-quality videos that exist online of what these mysterious temples look like inside. I'm talking about the Temple of the Moon and the Temple of the Snake.
place has been carved.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, look at the... What's that? That's like, no, I thought it was crystal, but it's not. It's slime. I don't think that's... Is that crystal?
Is that pyrite crystals?
Yeah.
Not sure.
Wow. This is like the... very reminiscent of Malta.
Uh-huh.
All the subterranean carved out chambers. Oh my gosh. This is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. And this is deep inside the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps going? Oh, it's been blocked off. Yeah, okay, no. Too narrow.
So they call this a sacrificial table here?
I mean, do you think it really was? I don't know if it was just a sacrificial table. Wow. Whoa.
Feeling this like air coming out?
Yep. Oh my god, yeah.
Can you get a light down there?
Okay, so this keeps going down. This keeps going down, doesn't it? Wow. Okay, this is nuts. This is nuts.
You see the snake here? The
yeah, and it's all smooth. Look at this. This is like the barber caves as well. It's all been smoothed out.
Wow.
And the snake, yeah? Wow, this is absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Mainstream archaeologists attribute these bedrock works to the Bronze Age Inca, with basic chisels of copper and bronze and hammer stones. But what we observe within these chambers are smoothed surfaces, precision carved chambers and alcoves that suggest a far more sophisticated toolkit. They are also incredibly aged. The ravages of time are etched into these mysterious bedrock carvings, suggesting this site dates back much further than the Bronze Age, many thousands of years earlier. I could not help but notice striking similarities between these bedrock temples and those that I documented across the island of Malta in the Mediterranean, especially in the Hypogeum, a similarly carved subterranean temple that even conventional archaeology dates back over 5,000 years into prehistory. The same is likely true of these temple sites in the bedrock of Cusco. With their true purpose and origin obscured from historical reference, these sites are often attributed to the practice of ritualistic sacrifice and lunar worship. Stone slabs and channels cut into the rock are certainly indicative of a sacrificial chamber, but we don't know for certain, nor can we be truly definitive with the age of these sacred spaces. The Temple of the Snake takes its name from the serpent that you find etched into the entranceway, guiding you through the stone gate. The serpent is a common theme across megalithic ancient Peru. In many of the sites, you will find snake-like patterns, channels and grooves cut smoothly into stone with meticulous precision and attention to detail. Here, the snake is a message to those who enter the old, sacred halls that it guards, to tread with care and respect for those who carved out these places in such distant times, now lost to memory and forgotten by history. The Temple of the Moon, the internal chambers of which are also not accessible to the general public. As we approach the entrance, you begin to notice how the bedrock forms into more deliberate work. We see the telltale signs of ancient stone mastery, perfectly dressed bedrock walls, large niches and trapezoid cuts into the stone, leading us towards a void in the rock, an entrance into another ancient, sacred space. Its true purpose is lost to modern memory, the internal spaces are yet another demonstration of phenomenal stonework, carving the bedrock with masterful care and precision to create a chamber that resonates with a deep and esoteric purpose. It is extremely likely that these temple sites that are no longer accessible to the public are in fact far older than the Bronze Age. They are weathered and aged to a degree that suggests an origin within deep antiquity. It amazes me that such places can be hidden within the stone of the earth, like many other areas I've explored, whether it be the subterranean chambers of the Hypogeum in Malta or the winding passageways of the Serapeum in Egypt. We see a pattern of subterranean infrastructure, we see a pattern of precision stonework that goes beyond the means of the simple toolkit we assign to the Neolithic and Bronze Age periods. And in all of these places, we see significant degradation, erosion, and destruction that would call any critically thinking mind to re-examine the chronology and realize that the evidence is far more suggestive of a lost period of human history, a time before our own, civilizations before our own, and the eventual destruction of these people, the skeletal remains of their most impressive works in stone acting as the last surviving reminder of their presence on this earth. Walking down from the Temple of the Snake and the Moon, we find ourselves amongst a minefield of boulders, a place that could be easily ignored with just a passing glance, but once you look closely and explore its winding passageways, you begin to see that this area was once something very different. Precise cuts are here once again, the incredible trapezoid-style 90-degree angle carve-outs from the rock, smoothed-down surfaces and the remnants of what even appear to be the foundations of pillars. Was this once a structure or a collection of structures damaged and decayed over thousands of years? There are some extremely interesting areas to this site that suggest it was far more than a simple quarry, although I would argue that none of the so-called quarry sites in Peru should be considered simple. The lack of tool marks, the precision removal of stone without evidence of hard labor, that is the signature of ancient Peru. Unexplainable stonework. And here, in what the locals refer to as the Temple of the Monkey, it's no different. Amongst the niches, carved out chambers, smoothed down surfaces and surgically cut channels of stone, we find a remarkable sight. Extremely weathered but still perceivable, 3D carvings into the stone of what appear to be monkeys. The body, head and tail are still visible, but the level of erosion suggests that these images were carved many thousands of years ago. Almost completely absorbed back into the natural bedrock, we see evidence that this was more than just a quarry. Alongside the pillar foundations, these carvings suggest a permanent structure was once here, something of importance, that sustained a level of damage that reduced it to nothing more than shattered foundations and eroded imagery. It's possible that such an event took place over 12,000 years ago, during the Younger Dryas Cataclysm, where massive geological trauma, global sea levels, and major solar events could have decimated this landscape, reducing many of the original dwellings and structures to rubble, with only the most resilient, precision-engineered buildings and fortifications surviving. What happened in this place, all those years ago? I can't help but feel the pull towards a different answer to what we have been taught. The facts just don't line up with the fiction we are being given. And the only way I'm going to find any answers to this is by continuing to look for them. So that's exactly what I'm going to do.
This is absolutely incredible. And this is deep inside the rock. Thank you.